89 in your hymnals, O Zion, haste. Page 89. Let's all stand, shall we? Second. Behold how many thousands still are lying, bound in the darksome prison house of sin, with none to tell them of the Savior's dying, or of the
sound awful. Thought I was going to say good, didn't you? Have a seat. No, you sound good. You sound good enough. Not for God, but... Oh, you know when you... Have you ever done that? Brain freeze? And I didn't even have a Frosty. There was a verse. They're all good. I'm looking at these verses going, ooh, that one's good. Oh, that's not the one I'm looking for. But... You ever do that? What's that verse? Thinking you're going to answer your own self? What's that verse? You can't think of it. Say, what verse are you thinking of? I don't know. If I knew, I would find it. What do you mean? What do you want me to tell you? Oh, I'm looking for Philippians 1:6. No, I don't know. Give me 10 minutes. Maybe while I pray, right? The Lord will give it to me. Yeah, let's do that. Let's pray. We need to pray. Don't worry about the verse. Father, tonight we are here to worship you. We're here to worship you because of who you are. And I'm glad that we can worship you anywhere, anytime, any place. That's our goal tonight. Work in heart. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us. And Lord, thank you for the kids that are here. I just ask that they'll see Jesus. I pray they'll hear about him and I know they won't see him literally, but they need to see what he's like. I pray the teens will see the same thing. Thank you for this night. God, speak to us. I pray we'll leave here and go, boy, I needed that. Lord, I'm asking you to do that me too. That you would just give me tonight what I need. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 94 in your hymnals, Little Is Much When God Is In It. Page 94. excuse me. In the harvest field, my white man, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a battle you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. On the second, does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little gold? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. On the last, when the content here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a ground and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. It's about him. It's about him. Hello. It's about him, not about us. I was reading today. This wasn't what I was thinking of, but. No, let's go there. Got a minute? Acts 16. Another one of my favorite stories. I mean, I don't like the story, but I need it. You understand? I don't like it, but I need it. Acts 16. Paul and Silas are in Macedonia, and they are preaching the gospel. A lady that dealt in purple, a seller of purple, the Bible says. Worship God. God opened her heart. She got baptized. She was faithful to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, another gal came along who was a witch, if you will. Hey, that okay? Say, I'm offended. Be offended. She's a witch. Did you hear about that? This is crazy, man. I'll tell you what, heaven just smells sweeter all the time. The government's having some kind of meeting, and there's a newly elected whoever who's a guy but says he's a girl. So one of the guys called the dude Mister, and one of the other guys said, stop, we're not doing that, you're disrespecting. Man, are we warped. We are living in a time where they're calling good evil and evil good.
Right.
Stop the meeting. You're disrespecting this guy who's a guy who dresses like a girl, wants to be called a girl. The other guy called him a mister, and this other guy had a fit. Boy, it'd be hard to be a politician and be right and not slap people. Just telling you. So along comes this witch. See, if you say that, that's, I don't know. Whatever. So this witch comes along, and Paul is grieved because she is disrupting what they're doing. Acts 16, are you there? Verse 18, it says, this she did many days, but Paul being grieved turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that same hour. Why did he come out? Because Paul said, in the name, There's power in Jesus' name. There's no power in our name. So everybody gets upset. Boy, it sounds like 2025. Everybody's upset that Paul would do that. How can you do? Why would you kick the devil out of this woman? Why would you not? So they verse 22 says, they beat them. They didn't just persecute them. They beat them. We don't have it bad. I was reading Matthew 5 today. Blessed are ye, said, when men shall persecute you. We're not persecuted. So they beat them. Verse 23 says, Acts 16, they laid many stripes upon them. They put them in prison. I don't know what would put you in a bad mood, but reading verse 23, I'm in a bad mood. Here's where this is cool. And I've preached on this too much to preach on this, but I'm going to give you a little mini sermon. Think now. Did Paul, before he got to jail, did he worship God? Yes. When he got to jail after they beat him, did he worship God?
Yes.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That I don't know. It was like, I think God did today. I think he took his hand and thumped me on the forehead. They are beaten. They're in jail. And at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Isn't that amazing? I hate that story. I hate it. Because I fall so far short of that. Hey, I'm praising God when the devils are leaving. But if they beat me for doing what I'm supposed to do and I go to jail, and I'll tell you what. That is such a challenge to me. Is it to you? God is God no matter what we're going through.
Amen.
You worship God because of who he is, not because of what he does. That's what Paul and Silas are teaching us there. You know, one of the coolest verses in the Bible is verse 26. Do you know why? Because it's got two words in it that mean the same thing, suddenly and immediately. Suddenly and immediately. Isn't it amazing that God was God when Paul and Silas said he's God, even when we don't understand, this doesn't look like he's God, we did what we're supposed to do, now we're in jail, and you know what? That challenges me to worship God because he's God, no matter what he does for me. Right? Because he's always God.
Yes.
Bowling party, we're announcements, hey? Bowling parley, parley, bowling party. You see that note, do you? Do you? Do you see that note? You have your prayer list? Under cancer, there was a gal, which was Pat Stokes' mother-in-law. She died from that. So if you want to just make a note and pray for the Stokes, they're traveling to Detroit this weekend for the funeral. Their son Patrick, his wife Heidi, was her mom, had cancer, pancreatic cancer, and she was under cancer. And now I don't know if she's a Christian. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Ready to pray? Get in the spirit of prayer, would you? Or whatever you do. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh, Lord, help me to be like Paul and Silas and to worship you because of who you are, not because of what I think you ought to do. Thank you, Lord, that you can do great things. When you cast those that demon out of that gal, which got them in trouble, when you did that, though, that was a miracle. But Paul said, I'm not doing this. Paul said, in the name of Jesus. So he's still God serving you, and he's still in jail, and you're still God, and he's singing and praising you. And he doesn't know that you're going to send an earthquake, but you did. And Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged by that. That as long as we worship you, you can do the miraculous. I want to do that, Lord. Help me do that. Thank you that we can pray. Thank you for lost people on this list that need salvation. May we be better at praying for them and praying specifically. And I know that we all have people in our lives that we're praying for that we want to see born again. They need to have a spiritual birth. They just don't need to be religious. They need a total new beginning. They need to be born again. I pray we'll make that clear and easy for them to see. I pray they'd see it in our lives that something drastic has happened to us. We don't just talk religious and act religious. We are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, who came and died, rose from the dead. Lord, we pray tonight for preachers, for all of them, but tonight specifically, we have John Utley down there. Be with him. Continue to heal him. If he's struggling with his throat issue, and I know he had some issues, give him strength and healing. Thank you, God, for the college, Indiana Baptist College. Bless them as they serve you and look for a president. And I think of Mrs. Denton, who's going through chemo. And I pray for healing. I pray for strength. Just be with her and give her healing and encouragement. Thank you, God, for this night. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, may the Bible challenge us in every way it can. I pray we'll let it just move us to be a better Christian. I want to be a better Christian because of tonight, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers are coming. I'll give you a chance to get your gold bars out. Or whatever you carry, dollar bills. Whatever you think God's worth. If you think God's just worth a penny, yeah, go there. But he's worth more than that, is he not? Ready to pray? Father, tonight we are anxious, God, for you to work. We're here not just because you write it down and go, okay, you made it again. Lord, we want this to be beneficial to our spiritual life. We want to be a blessing to each other. It's good to look out and see people here, and I hope they're looking around and say, oh, I'm glad they're here. Lord, some aren't here. We don't know why. Maybe there's an issue. Maybe there's maybe it's not physical. Maybe it's just some battle. I know that the devil is just awful. He's so ugly and terrible. And if he can't afflict us physically, he'll afflict us emotionally. And I pray that we will just know victory that's in Christ. And Lord, tonight, we want you to get all the glory. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you.
I feel. All right, page 86. I'm not going to tell you what we were talking about. It's too embarrassing. 86, let's all stand. My Jesus, I love thee.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. On the last, in mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Thank you. You may be seated.
It's so early. Second, if you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians. Thank you. Good music. The organist and pianist was finally playing good. We've been praying for them to get with it, and they finally have. The song leader's still out of it, though. Pray for him. He's a mess. And the preacher, we're praying you get a good preacher someday. We've got several candidates coming in. I'm old. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. No, you're going to have to carry me out. I did my taxes yesterday, and he told me I have to work. No, you can't quit. I know. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Verse 7. We're going to read. I'll just tell you so you can focus in. Verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They were a mess. The Corinthians were a mess. Fleshly, carnal. Paul called them carnal. They lived for the flesh. They lived after what they wanted, what they thought. Their eyes controlled a lot of what they did. They went by their feelings. Any of this sound familiar? I'm not talking about churches. I'm talking about you and I. We struggle with that, don't we? Man, I'm glad when we get to heaven, everybody's saved. Because I'll tell you something I keep forgetting. Everybody down here is not saved. They act like it. They talk like it. Hey, it drives me nuts. I mean, really. And it's hard to steer clear of it. But I'm glad that God loves me just the way I am. But he wants me to change. Paul is telling them, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's reminding them who he is and what he does and why he does it. The point, the purpose, not about him. In fact, he said in chapter 3, in the last verse, verse 18, that if we allow the Holy Spirit, verse 17, which is the spirit he calls him of liberty, he tells us that as we stare at him, verse 18, chapter 3, that open face, that's talking about staring. Think about this now, staring at the Lord, keeping your eyes, keeping your focus on him. He said, we all, look at that verse. You ought to be close. He said, but we all with open face, beholding. That means to stare. He said, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit, capital S, by the Spirit. You don't read the Bible and change. You read the Bible so the Spirit can change you. Amen. You hear? Anybody here? Huh? I memorize Scripture. It makes me godly. No, it doesn't. The Spirit takes that Scripture and makes you godly. Don't mess that up. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why God put him in you, so that he could make the change from the inside out. Because if he'd let me, I want to be the Holy Spirit for you on the outside and slap you around. Or wait, I shouldn't have said that. Don't you feel like you need it sometimes? Just slap me. Just kick me. Paul tells them that, I mean, he could have beat them up. He could have said, y'all are, and he was pretty rough on them, 1 Corinthians. He was brutal. But he's trying to, I think it's like the bank teller thing. They don't have bank tellers stare at fake money. They have them stare at real money. So when they see fake, they know it just sticks out. And that's his point. Chapter 3, verse 17, that's his point. When we see the real thing, we won't want anything else. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I talked to my Pentecostal uncle today, so some of that might come out. But it's true. He wants us changed more than we want to be changed. So how much easier, what else could he do when he puts himself in you to change you? I mean, you say, boy, I wish God would help me more. He can't do any more. It's us. Hey, it's us. Look at verse 18 again, chapter 3. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Note the phrase, from glory to glory. That's up to us. He moves us as we behold him. If you're not being changed, maybe you're not staring at him hard enough. I didn't come here to have you make me feel bad. Too late. Hey? Maybe we need to stare harder. Longer. So then he introduces chapter 4 and he said, that's what we do. Verse 1, that he's saying our ministry is to get you to stare at the Lord. For we have, look at verse 1, I'm not going to read all this. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Here's what I think Paul is saying. He's saying, you all exasperate us. Because look, if I keep preaching and you don't change, That's going to be hard on me. So what will happen is I'll go, it ain't working. I'll just quit. Why? You know, romp and stop and put forth, oh, if you're not going to change. And so Paul is saying, we faint not. We don't do that. I'm preaching for the Lord. The Lord is going to say, how many do you have changed down there? He's going to say, did you do your best? If I go, well, they weren't changing, he's not going to go, I understand. It's up to me. He said, verse 5, we don't preach us.
It's not about us. See it? But Christ Jesus the Lord. And then he said, because we're your servants. Verse 6 is an amazing verse. He said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. In other words, our. He didn't say, you are so bad. You're terrible. He said, our. God has given us all we need to see what we're supposed to do. He's shining our hearts. See it? Verse 6. He's shining our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. I hope you get this. When we get to heaven, it's going to take us eternity to comprehend what is there. I don't know that because I've not been there. But I'm pretty sure when we see Jesus, it's going to take all eternity. We're not just going to go, oh, that's nice. Remember when your kids were born? You had kids. Remember when they were born? Remember you brought them home from the hospital? You laid them in that crib. Ask Amy. I'd get up and she'd go, where are you going? I'm going to look at my child. I just wanted to look at him. And while I was in there, I'd pray over him. God save them. Please save them. Did it for all of them. Stephen, Daniel, Micah, Allison. They were born just laying in that. Just, I couldn't get over it. I'm sorry. I love my kids, but Jesus is better.
Amen.
Notice verse 7. How's it start? But. He said, but we have this treasure. Anytime you hear treasure, it makes you curious, does it not? He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's us. Hey? Clay pot, earthen vessel, made, take dirt, mud, make a container. I'm mug crazy. I love coffee mugs. We go to Goodwill, I've added to my list books, ties, mugs. We'll go to Goodwill, and Amy will go, you go in the books. Yeah, I'm going the books. She knows I go from the books to the ties. From the ties, now I go to the mugs. She'll come over, she'll go, we don't need any mugs. Hey, you that, hello? She said, do you know how many we have in the basement? Our cupboard's full, okay? I shouldn't be telling you this. And I use like one or two because I'm mug partial. I don't know if that's a legitimate disease, but I'm trying to get disability for it. Can I help you?
Pray for our pastor. He has issues.
Verse 7. We are just a mug. Sometimes, Amy, she loves me. Don't ever take this wrong. Sometimes I'll, you know, get this new mug and I'm drinking my coffee and she'll go, so, does that make the coffee taste better? Because, and her, I know why she's saying that, because we only have 189 mugs and I buy one more. So I use it once, hey, and then it gets like the back of the bus or downstairs, you know, I'll hide it down there because there's so much stuff down there. I'll just hide it down there. Don't tell her that. She knows I have, you know, I'm part. So listen, it's not the container. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God chose to put himself, look at verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You're not special. God is special. You say, you're making me feel bad. I'm trying. We're not done yet. Man, I got 25 minutes to make you feel worse. We're just, hey, listen, I've always felt, and I don't know when it came to me, but I'm just a bucket that delivers the goods. You have done without me. You can do without me. You will do without me. But you can't give up this message. We need this message. Doesn't matter who's given the message. It has to be the right message. But we have this treasure. Treasure is the highest value the Bible can put on anything. But we have this value in our crummy, made out of mud, earthen, made out of mud vessel, that the excellency. See, there ought to be something visible in you and I that's excellent. I just given you a minute to wake up. I thought you were sleeping. I'm sorry. That the excellency of the power may be, verse 7 says, may be of God and not of us. Notice how he goes into verse 8. It's just kind of a matter of fact. We are. See verse 8? We are. Not you are, they are, some are, most are. We are. Notice these verses. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. He doesn't use the we are again, but he means it. So he says in verse 9, we are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. There's kind of a progression there. If I write with my finger, can you see this? What's he say first? We're troubled. Trouble comes. There'll be no trouble in heaven. There's plenty of trouble here, right? Car trouble. Ever had a water leak? Ever been without hot water, without electricity? We can have all your roof leaks. Your basement leaks. Huh? Stuff squeaks. We have, when he says verse 8, we are troubled, he's starting out, it's on the top. See it up there? Troubled. You looked.
I did look. Yeah.
He said, we are troubled, not we are perplexed. So what does the trouble do? It causes us to get perplexed. I'm going to go through these one by one, but I want to take you through this progression. So he says, we're troubled and perplexed. Verse 9, he says, we are persecuted. Now it's getting harder. It's gone from trouble to perplexity to persecution. And then finally, verse 9, he says, cast down. Trouble isn't bad. He didn't say we might be. He said we are. We are, see it? Some of you are going to look. We are trouble. He didn't write anything, did he? We are trouble. I'll turn this because I don't want you to have nightmares. Verse 10. Always. This is another interesting verse. Always bearing about in the body, our body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Did he suffer trouble? Was he perplexed? Was he persecuted? Was he cast down? Always, verse 10, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life. Hey, let's have fun for a minute. Got a minute? Speak up. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. I need you to speak up. Was Jesus God?
Yes.
Before he came to earth, he was God.
Yes.
So when he came to earth, he became a man, right? Born of a virgin. So he wasn't born as God. He was born as a man. Okay? I'm not getting theological. I don't know how, and I don't want to because some of you already have Google eyes. So just stay with me. Did he die?
Yes.
As a man.
Because
God can't die. But he rose from the dead as God. Here's the question. Ready? All that. When did he know on earth that he was going to die?
Before he got there.
No, on earth. Did he cry as a baby?
Yes.
Did he burp?
Yeah.
He's old man. Women don't burp, but he's old man. Sometimes I burp and forget. Amy will go, excuse me. I'm a man. Did he cry? Did he get hurt as a child? You sure? Yeah, probably, right? I mean, come on. If he was, did he eat? Did he sleep? When did he know as a man that he was going to die? There's no way. Look, let me just help you. There's no answer to this. You say, as God, he knew he was going to die. I know that. Did Mary say to him? Did she have, just think a minute. Just don't breathe real hard. Take less breaths. Let me get this out so you can hear this. Did his mom say to him, you realize who you are? I mean, she told her the man part of him. I'm not looking for answers. You don't know that. There is no answer, so don't go, I have an answer. No, you don't. Did she say to him, did Mary say to him, you know, watch. Here's where we're going. She said to him, do you know why you came? When did he say, when did she hear him say, Mother, I came to die? That's why he came. He didn't come to live. He didn't come to make water wine at Cana. He didn't come to feed 5,000 and 4,000 and walk on water and raise the dead. He didn't come for that. He came to die. His whole mission was to die. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying. Why did he die? So we could live. When he died, man, this is good. Listen to me. This ought to be a sermon. When he died, he conquered death, the devil, and sin.
Amen.
Hey?
Amen.
Sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen. Romans 6:14. For you're not under law, but under grace. Meaning, Jesus, the Bible says, was full of grace and truth. I'm going to get there. You just got hold on to the train. Enjoy the scenery. Always bearing about. In other words, we need to realize why we're here. You think he had fun? I'm just playing with your mind. Is that okay? You think, did he go to the wedding at Cana, John 2? Okay, you think he had fun?
Yes.
I love weddings. Nathan, our grandson, Sunday, 84 days. I said, hi, so, you know, love you, man. 84 days. Said, I'm excited. I mean, I don't want to see my grandkids get married. I want them to stay single and live with their parents the rest of their life. But I guess that's how it goes. We'll see everybody. We'll celebrate. You think Jesus had fun at the wedding at Cana? You think he thought to himself, man, I wish I didn't have to die? Did he not pray, Father? You and I just have to settle it. We're not here to live. We're here to die. But look at this verse, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest where? In our body. Can I pray? I'm not done, but can I pray? Father, please challenge my heart. Make this just go so deep into my heart and soul that it does the radical. I pray this, and I need your help. Spirit of God, take over. Fill me. Fill me. Push me out. I want to be empty of me. I want my bucket to be full of you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're always dying. When you wake up in the morning, physically you're dying. Sorry. Sometimes you feel like it, right? Man, I am. I think I'm dead. You're not dead, but you're dying. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:33, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus the Lord. I die daily. In other words, we're not here for here. Did Jesus leave heaven and was he born? Just stay with me. Some of you are going to. Did Jesus leave heaven and was he born of a virgin? Did he know why he came?
Yes.
So when he's born, he knew that the goal was the cross. Yes. Yep. He'd rise from the dead. He was here after he rose from the dead, 40 days. Then he went back to heaven. We're only here for 33 years. If you will. We're dead to everything. We're always, as he puts it, verse 10, we're always, isn't it great? He starts verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying. We're not here for here. We're not here for the weddings. We're not here for the parties. We're here to fill our bucket with him and make sure people know what's in our bucket.
Amen.
We have this, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's why we're here. In verse 8 and 9, that's what we're going to get to. And in 10 minutes, we're going to do it. I mean, we're going to do it within 10 minutes. I'm not going to start 10 minutes. It's 10 till. Number one, trouble. That's not number one, though. Can I give my definition of trouble? Pressure. Because when you look that word up, it means to be pressed in a crowd. Pressure, it won't kill you. It'll aggravate you. But what he says in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. That's trouble. Pressure. I'm under pressure. Hey, you're under pressure. I took my taxes in last week. I said, how's he doing? Oh, he's so busy. I said, I'm not in a hurry. You know, I never know if I'm getting money back, and certainly if I have to pay, I'm not in a hurry. So I told her, I said, hey, I'm not in a hurry. Tell him. 2 days later, she calls me. They're done. I'm thinking, oh, no. My dad would always wait. Do you know how many times I ran, literally, ran to the post office at 11:55 on April 15th? This is the Bible. If he was here, he would tell you. My wife will tell you. He'd call me, hey, need you to run to the post office. April 15th. 11:30. That's called pressure. For him, mine are done. Pressure can squeeze you, but he says it won't not distress. It won't crush you. Number two, we got to move quick. I've got 5 minutes for 2 points. And I'm at 2.5 minutes. So second point, I have 2.5 minutes. Keep track. Put your stopwatch on. He says in verse 8, not only are we troubled, but he says we are, see it, Kent? Perplexed.
I'm watching.
Perplexed. Say, what's that mean? May I define it? Means to have doubt. You've doubted. You've doubted? Is this what God wants? Am I doing the right thing? I don't doubt my salvation, but there's times that I just wonder, what you know, is God there? That's what he's talking about, verse 8. We are perplexed. We don't see a way out. Nothing's certain. We're doubting. We're confused. The pressure is so great. We're tired. We're worn out. We're confused. It's hard to do anything. We're worn down. You know what I'm glad about? The Bible says, God, 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. When I let him down, he's still there. When I'm not right, he's always right. In other words, when I'm confused, he's not. Ooh, I got 30 seconds. Let's spend 30 seconds more on this second point, and then we'll move on. It's okay. Hey, it's okay to doubt. Just don't stay there. Realize what he can do. We're troubled or pressure. We're perplexed or doubting. Verse 9. Persecuted. Want me to give you my word for that? Persecuted. Can't come up with one. Persecuted. Time wasn't going, so I just, no. That's it. Listen. what we go through. Oh, you Christians. Where is it? Some country, I forget now, they're killing Christians. Do you know that? Killed like 100 of them, Christians. Christian people, one of these countries, these groups are going in, grabbing these people, shooting them, stabbing them, slitting their throats if they're in church, if they're reading the Bible, in our world today. Hey, now I'm telling you, there's people in America, some, you see what Trump, the Prime Minister of Ireland was in the office today? I'm sorry. Forgive me. If you're a fan, forgive me. Someone said Rosie O'Donnell's moving to Ireland. And Trump said, I'm sorry, Prime Minister. Everywhere Paul went, it's like he was persecuted. Remember that? Let him over the wall in the basket at night. That's called persecution. They killed him several times, but he never died. He spent years. They calculated over five. He spent at least 5 years in prison as a Christian. That's persecution. He says, verse 9, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. When it seems like everything's against us, people don't always appreciate what you and I believe. Did you know that? Allison sent me a text. My daughter, she's in Michigan. She's training a new person, and she started a new job. She's in charge of the entire state of Michigan for Liberty Mutual Insurance. And she texted, she said, Dad, a bartender at Hacienda is trying to get a hold of you. I said, did I not pay my bill? She said, she found me on Facebook and said, is that your dad? When he used to come in here, he used to talk to me and witness to me, and I need to get a hold of him. Man, she ridiculed me. Hey, I wasn't persecuted. Man, but thank God, maybe she saw Jesus in the bucket.
Amen.
Hey, I can't help her, but Jesus can. Oh, 2 minutes, last one. Troubled, pressured. Perplexed, doubt, persecuted, cast down. That means to be wounded. There are people, there are Christian people and there are preachers I don't agree with. But I don't want to cause them to be wounded. I don't want to wound them. Hey? So the progression is, trouble comes into our life or pressure. It can cause us to doubt. We'll feel persecuted. Like we're doing something we shouldn't do. Is it worth it? To the point where he says, verse 9, we'll be cast down, but not destroyed. It's overwhelming. Trouble we can handle. Being cast down, different story. You and I are the light of the world. We're the light of the world all the time. Not just when we're not troubled. Hey, Acts 16. God was God when that demon came out of that girl, and he was still God when Paul and Silas went to jail after being beaten. He was still God. Amen. Will we have pressure? Yes. Will we doubt? Yes. Will we be persecuted? Not big time, but yes. Will we be wounded? Yes. I'm learning in life as I get older. I encounter trouble, but I don't get to pick what kind of trouble. It's just whatever God wants me to have. And when life gets hard, can you look at verse 11? I'm going to stop there. He said, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You know what that means to me? Can I just apply that? I don't want to say my interpretation, but my application of that. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. You know what you do when you get in trouble? You run to the cross. He didn't say pick it up and put it down. He said carry it. That means it goes with you everywhere you go. Listen now, listen. When you get in trouble, jump on the cross. When you doubt, go to the cross. When you're persecuted, go to the cross. And when you're wounded, Christians can be cruel. If you get wounded by another Christian, don't wound back. Just go to the cross. Jesus died for me. If you get wounded, it's not a big deal if you go to the cross because Jesus died for you. And if somebody tries to wound you, he said it's going to happen. We're going to be wounded, but we won't be destroyed. We just go to the cross. We carry our cross and know we were born to die, just like Jesus. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I want to live it. I want to do what it says. I don't want to know what it says. I want to find out and then do it. I want to look so hard at you. I want to behold you so that I'm like you. And I'm sorry I give you a hard time about that. Help me with that. Help me, Holy Spirit. There are others tonight that might say, yeah, God, please, God, help me, help me. Help me just to know that I'm just here to die. I'm not here to enjoy the earth. I'm not here to enjoy the world. You said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're just here to die. We're just here to make sure our bucket, that our treasure is in our earthen vessel. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.